Listen. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak this morning. The Lord is going to speak. John chapter 5, verse 25, he says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Let me read another verse to you. This verse is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Bear in mind what we've just said. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak this morning. He said, the time is coming. It now is. The hour is now. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Not me. That's not talking about me. I have the privilege this morning of taking your attention and hopefully your ear for the next few minutes. It's a privilege that I am grateful for and that I hold seriously. It is something that as we gather together and share this time together, we are aware of that we give ear to these words week by week. But let us not doubt that this is more than merely a man's voice or a congregation's audience. This is the Lord that speaks. We believe that when we gather together, when we come into his presence, it is with the purpose and intent of hearing his voice. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Your soul's eternal welfare is the greatest responsibility that you have today. Your soul's eternal welfare. Will you turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ when he speaks? What is more vital than to hear God's words? We only have a short time here. This morning, an hour. But that short time that we have is just a picture of the short time that we have in this world. Ask the old guys. Come and speak to me about how little time we actually have and how quickly it passes. And the most important thing that we can address this morning is what is the state of my eternal soul? Because eternity will never pass. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Moses spoke on the earth. That's who the reference in Hebrews is most directly appertainable to. Moses spoke on earth and he gave the commandments of God. He gave commandments of God to a people who were a stiff-necked people, who were people that had cloth in their ears. They wouldn't listen. Their hearts were desirous more to pursue after the lusts of their own flesh. They had grand ideas of their self-importance. Religious ideas. They thought if God is going to do this to us as a people, why do we have to give hearing to Moses? We have a direct relationship with God ourselves. We don't need to listen to this man. Moses spoke on earth. And there were some present in the time of Moses who resisted him and who refused to listen to the things that he was saying. Read it for yourself in Numbers chapter 16. Read it with the light on, because if it's dark, you'll get scared. The things that happened to those men who turned their back on the word that God spoke through his servant Moses were terrible, fearful. The earth opened up and consumed them and their wives and their children all fell down into the pit alive. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews is referencing. He is saying, if that's what happened to men who wouldn't listen to a man on earth, think what is going to happen if we refuse to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from the Son of God. He who speaks from heaven, he who speaks clearly in the gospel, he who speaks words of truth, he who gives hope to hopeless men and women, he who declares forgiveness to those who can find no forgiveness in their own hearts when they reflect upon the things that they have said and the things that they have done. Oh, guilt is a problem. Guilt is a problem that besets us day after day after day. We look back and we think about the people that we've hurt. We think about the offense that we've caused. We think about the places that we've gone and the things that we've done and the damage that has come from it. And we wonder if there is such a thing as peace in our own conscience and forgiveness with God. There is one who speaks peace to the hearts of men and women, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've said. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and he speaks words of hope and he speaks words of forgiveness. He declares mercy available to a sinful people who deserve none. He gives meaning to our lives and teaches us how to understand ourselves and our relationship one with another and our relationship with God. He talks of grace and love and peace. Wonderful themes, glorious themes, high themes, important messages that come from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. See that we listen when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us today. Another verse in Hebrews says, it's chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Where are you going to find salvation in this world if it's not in the Lord Jesus Christ? Where are you going to find salvation? Where are you going to find peace? What course of action are you going to pursue to deal with the sin that's in your heart? With the lusts that rise up constantly in your own soul? Where are you going to find release, liberty from that? If you will turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ who speaks from heaven to our souls today. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? At the first, let me tell you something about this salvation. Salvation isn't a novelty. It's not a new idea. It was spoken of at the first. What was first? What was the very first thing that was ever said? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. No, it wasn't "let there be light." That wasn't the first thing that was ever said. Before that, there was a conversation in heaven before the earth was ever formed. A conversation that took place between the persons of the Godhead. A conversation about a love that God had for his people. Of a desire that God had to gather a people to himself. Of a will that God had to have communion with those who were of flesh and blood. Staggering, amazing, wonderful, majestic truths that are revealed to us about the eternal God, he who needs nothing, he who is self-existent, self-satisfied in everything, who is beyond our concept or understanding, who nevertheless speaks, who speaks to men, who speaks to sinners, and he says, "Here am I. Send me." And so the Lord Jesus Christ spoke from the beginning in the eternal covenant of peace that he would represent his people, that he would represent those that God gave to him. The Word, we speak of him. John says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. He was the Word because he spoke. He's the Word because he's the voice. He is the Amen. The one who declares that it will be. The one who declares truth from God." And at the first he spoke in the covenant of peace before creation. And he spoke of a plan that was devised by the Godhead. That was foretold by prophets. That was fulfilled in time. That was accomplished by the very person of Jesus Christ himself. And he spoke of a people bestowed by God to him, committed into his care. And he spoke of a salvation that would be applied by God the Holy Spirit, that would bring to men and women peace and glory and joy. Well might the writer to the Hebrews say, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord?" It is a great salvation. See that we refuse him not that speaketh of this great salvation. I want to draw our attention for a little while today to this 25th verse of John chapter 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Let's take it from the top. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Do you know, it hadn't dawned on me, and this is more to my shame than anything else, because I'm probably not teaching you anything, but there are 20 occasions exclusively in the Gospel of John where the Lord Jesus Christ says these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, there's nearly 100 recordings of this type of statement. But in all the other Gospels, it's "Verily, I say unto you." John is distinct in that in each of the 20 times where he writes this phrase down, he doubles up the "verily." The Lord Jesus Christ said, as John recorded it, on 20 occasions, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And I just want to pause for a moment and say, have you ever heard anyone else using those words? Never. Never in the history of humankind has anyone spoken like this man speaks. Never has anyone said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." That word verily is the same word amen. So when we say amen at the end of our prayers, or when the gospel writers write amen at the end of the gospels, they are testifying to the truthfulness and the veracity of the things that they have heard. Here's a little aside for you. If you ever find yourself in the company of someone who's praying, and you think to yourself, this man or this woman doesn't know the gospel. This man doesn't know God. This man doesn't know by the things that he is saying the truth of the revelation of God. Don't say amen at the end. Just don't say it. Because how can you give your agreement to these things that are not true? Amen is an important word. It's important when we say amen that we recognize that we are giving assent to the things that have been said. Verily, verily, amen, amen, this is true, this is true. It's emphasizing the need for us to hear the things that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. It speaks of authority. It speaks of faithfulness and trustworthiness. It speaks of these qualities that the Lord Jesus Christ has that no other man could possibly take to himself. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said was true. Everything that he said was dependable. And when he says, verily, verily, he's telling us to think about these things as being the absolute truth of God revealed by himself. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ is about to say something important. Verily, verily, I say unto you. And if he's saying something important to his disciples, you may be sure that he is saying something important to you and something important to me. It is our obligation to hear him, to turn not away from him who speaketh from heaven. And the Holy Spirit has specifically recorded these words for us, intentionally, purposefully given us this construction of phrase in order. I guess what we would do nowadays is that we would put it in bold, or we would underline it with a different color of text. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did something simpler than that. He said, listen to this. Because what I'm about to tell you is true, so true. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks. And what I say doesn't matter very much. What I say really doesn't matter. Listen, I've lived long enough to know that most of my opinions are wrong. And most of the things that I think are probably drawn from inadequate information, prejudiced thinking processes, a sinful heart that construes and constructs my own worldview according to what pleases me. I only need to listen to my son and the way in which he exposes all the fallacies of my ideas and thoughts to know that, you know what? Stop talking. Just shut up. It's amazing how young people know all the answers, isn't it? Until they learn that actually they're just the same as their dads and their mums. I might like to think that I've got something important to say to you. And I hope I'm not bursting any balloons, but I'm pretty sure you all like to think that you've got something important to say as well. The truth is that it's this man that we need to hear. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to hear. And our opinions and our ideas, they're not worth a thing. We need to hear the words that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. What he says matters immensely. Because he has the words of eternal life. What he says matters to you this morning, and it matters to me. Because this is the matter of life and death. This is the matter of our soul's eternal well-being. Don't ignore it. Don't turn away. Don't neglect these things. Your soul depends upon it. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said, the hour is coming, and now is. So he's not talking about the hour that's coming someday in the future when the graves will be opened and the resurrection trumpet will sound and God will come back, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and all men will go and stand at the judgment. That day is coming. That day is coming. And make no mistake about it, there will be a judgment. And all men will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, into whose hand all judgment has been given. He will declare those that are his and those who must depart from out of his presence for all eternity. It will be a terrible day. It will be a terrible hour for those who have no Saviour, who have no peace with God. And what a joyous hour it will be for those who love the Lord. But it's not that hour that we're speaking about. The hour is coming, he said, and now is. He's speaking with an urgency. He's speaking with an immediacy here. The hour is now. It now is. It's this hour here today. It's not history. It's not past times. It's not old folk that this is meaningful for. It's not for your granny. It's not for grown-ups and adults, it's for you, it's for me, it's now. It's important now that we hear the things that the Lord has to say. We imagine that it was simpler back then, you know, we maybe have an old Bible in the house and we look at it and there's the old folks writing in there and there's testimony to their faith and we think it was simpler back then. It wasn't any simpler back then. If anything, we've made our lives simpler, more complicated in their simplicity. But it was hard back then. But people heard the word of the Lord and they trusted in him. And so for every one of us, there is an appointed time. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking almost 2,000 years ago. But now is now. The hour is coming and now is. And what hour is this? Well, you don't need to turn around. It's 11:30. It's the 30th of April. It's 2017. And here, we need to give that audience to the words of Christ and hear them. Because this moment will never be repeated. You'll never be back here again. This is it. This is the present. This is now. And soon it will be lost forever. And we might look back someday and think, I wonder what would have happened if I had listened. I wonder what would have happened if I had given ear, given place, heard the voice of Christ. What happens in this hour will have eternal, everlasting, enduring consequences for your soul. The disciples, the apostles to whom these words were spoken were being primed by the Lord. They were being told to be prepared for what the Lord Jesus Christ was about to do. These words that he speaks are words that change men's hearts. They're words that convict souls. That challenge, that convert, that change, that make a difference. The Holy Spirit, he takes these words of the Lord Jesus Christ and he opens the heart. He opens the heart. If your heart ever has to be opened, I hope there's a very talented surgeon standing above you at the time. Because our heart is so important to the well-being of our physical bodies. But the heart, because of its importance, is used scripturally, spiritually, to speak about the whole man or the whole woman, about who we really are, about what we are. And it's the Holy Spirit that has to take and open that heart, that has to touch us in the depths of our being, show us who we are, really are, deep down, and to teach us something of these truths that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. True, these words are. The Lord Jesus Christ uses words to change men and women's hearts. He uses the gospel. It's an amazing thing. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could use lightning. He could use anything. He could speak to us like he spoke to Paul with a Damascus Road experience. He could blind us just like that. He could cripple us. He could so elate us that we have an experience that is out of the body. Do you know, he could do anything he wants. He's God. But amazingly, he has chosen purposefully to speak to men and women with the simplicity of words. Just words. The gospel. Don't go around looking for some dramatic experience. Don't think that you're going to hear something or see something that is going to be so charismatically phenomenal that it just changes your life forever. This is the hour. This is the moment. These are the words. This is the gospel. This is the man, Christ Jesus, who speaks. And it is God, the Holy Spirit, that opens the hearts of sinful men and women and touches them and changes them. And that's what the Lord is here speaking about. The hour is now. The hour is now. And the disciples were being prepared to carry this message with boldness. This message of the gospel, this message of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through him. And so each gospel preacher, men that take the responsibility and are given the responsibility of declaring the gospel in these days, they carry the same boldness with them into the pulpit when they're preaching every time, or they should. That the hour is now when men and women will have their hearts opened. And the gospel will be poured in eternal significance to their souls. The Lord does not say that the dead might hear. He says that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There's the confidence that the preacher has every time he brings the gospel to men and women. That the dead shall hear, and they that hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. In hours such as this, the gospel goes forth, and it goes forth to fulfill the purpose whereunto it was sent. This gospel is the message. You must hear it. For your soul's eternal well-being, you must hear it. And I trust that the Lord will give you grace by the power of the Holy Spirit to receive these truths. The Lord says, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now let me tell you this. I'm not what is sometimes called a universalist. I don't believe that everyone is going to heaven. I don't believe that salvation was intended for everyone. I don't believe that there is a universal love of God, a universal grace of God, a universal mercy of God that is going to come to all men at the end anyway, because how could a God of love ever send people to hell? I don't believe in that nonsense. That's not what the Bible teaches. If we're going to hear the word of Christ, we must hear it and believe it as it is given. There are those who are dead in sins. That's the consequence of our humanity. We're born in sin because of the sin of Adam, because of the rejection that Adam made all those years ago. There is a consequence which has fallen upon every single man, woman, boy, girl. There is a sin that afflicts us, and the Bible calls that sin a deadness. A deadness. A deadness towards spiritual things. It's as if our souls are dead. And sometimes you'll meet someone and you'll think to yourself, that person's so vacant. There's no affection, there's no feeling, there's no warmth in that person. That person, it's almost as if their soul's dead within them. We use such language when we encounter people. But this is deeper than that. This is not talking about some sort of vacantness or some sort of slowness or lack of interest. This is talking about a disease that has come into our souls that has caused us to have no ability to understand spiritual things. And men and women are born into that state. So a change has to be made. A radical alteration has to be made. And the purpose of using the phrase, the word dead in sins, is to suggest to us and to teach us by suggesting this to us that there's nothing that we can do, just as a dead corpse can't do anything of itself. So there is nothing that we can do of ourselves to remedy that deadness, that lack of spiritual understanding, which is part of our makeup. And yet the Lord says that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. We're not talking about everyone. And maybe this morning there's a whole host of people in this room who've got dead souls. And maybe this word will just come to one. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. It's a strange phrase, isn't it? The dead don't hear a thing. But this is no ordinary voice. And we're talking spiritually here about a spiritual change, a reformation, an alteration, a conversion that God alone accomplishes. This is the voice of the Son of God. This is the voice of He who Himself is the resurrection and the life, who Himself died and rose again. The Lord Jesus Christ in His own ministry raised the dead. There are three distinct occasions when He raises dead people. And those whom He raised are given to us, recorded in the page of Scripture to show us that He has power over physical life and death. We're given that picture of His power over physical life and death in order to reinforce and authenticate the power that He has over spiritual life and death. The physical life and death isn't the biggest thing. It's the fact that He can speak a word which changes our souls, that enters our hearts. Your soul needs a miracle, just as altogether amazing and wonderful as the Lord Jesus Christ calling forth the dead during His own lifetime. It is His voice that brings the power of salvation. The voice of Jesus Christ. The voice of Jesus Christ in the gospel. And what does He say? What does He say? He says this. He says, I know that you're a sinner. I know that you're a sinner. This person here might not know that you're a sinner. And this person here might have an idea, but pretty low key. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows the true color of your heart. He knows your works. He knows your words. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motivation. And He knows that you are not fit for His presence. I know that you're a sinner. I know that you are dead in your soul, dead in your sin, and I know that you are unable to help yourself. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says to you this morning. But He also says this. He says, I have come to save sinners just like you. I have come to save sinners by taking away that sin. He says, when I died on the cross, I took all the sin of all my people. All that people, remember about that covenant when he spoke in that eternal covenant and God the Father gave him a people, committed into his care a people whom the Father loved from before time. He said, I have taken the sin of all that people that were committed into my hand, into my care, and I paid the price. I took that sin away on my own, in my own body on the cross. I paid the debt of sin with my blood. I satisfied justice. I redeemed my people. I brought in mercy. And now he says, in the appointed hour of mercy, in the appointed hour of love and grace, I am visiting each one for whom I died, and I am whispering words of love into their souls. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. That's the words. That's the voice. Though dead in sin, he says, the hour is coming when they shall hear the voice of the Son of God. How is that possible? The dead can't bring themselves to life. It's foolishness to think so. But the Holy Spirit quickens. He makes alive. He calls in power with the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus, come forth! And those who are dead in their sins, hear. Hear. Lazarus is just an example. What's your name? What's your name? Do you know? Lord Jesus Christ says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He visits and he knows. Remember the man that was there lying at the pool of Bethesda? 38 years he'd been lying there. A certain man. The Lord knew his name. The Lord knew who he was. The Lord went to that place to find him. Such a pitiful statement. The Lord says to him, would you be made whole? He said, Mister, I don't have anybody to carry me down to the water when the angel comes to trouble the water. Oh, he says, I try. But as I try, somebody steps down before me. Always steps down before me. And for 38 years, I have lain here. But the Lord knew him. The Lord knew his name. The Lord knew him from eternity. The Lord recognized him as one of those that had been given to him by his Father in the eternal covenant of grace. And the Lord came and he saved that man's soul. He said, thy sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. I'm glad he didn't say, go and sin no more and your sins will be forgiven. He said, your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. And oh, to know that forgiveness in our souls. Oh, to hear that voice. Oh, to have that experience of grace flood in upon us. To know forgiveness. To know peace with God. John 10:3 says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Lazarus, come forth. Put your own name in there. Can you hear the voice of the Lord? Is this the hour? And they shall hear and live. The Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed his people by his blood. He has pardoned their sins. He has cleansed them of their sins and he has justified them. He has equipped them. He has made them righteous. He has prepared them for the presence of his Father. And now he comes in regenerating power. He comes with a new life. and they that hear shall live. The voice of the Son of God is heard in the gospel of grace. And while the general call goes out every time the preacher preaches faithfully the truths of the Word of God, that special call, that secret call, that effectual call, that personal call comes to the heart of an individual. It might miss the people on either side, but it will strike where it is intended. And if God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, if God speaks to us today, then do not turn away. Don't turn away. How will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? To whom else can you turn? He has the words of eternal life. If God the Son and God the Holy Spirit has spoken, do not turn away. Where else will you go? Here is great salvation. If God the Son and God the Holy Spirit has spoken, don't turn away. This is the appointed time. This is the day. This is the hour of salvation for you. If God the Son and God the Holy Spirit has spoken, do not turn away, but come. Come to Christ. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in John 6:37, "All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." God grant us grace. Show us mercy. Whisper thy love to our hearts today. Speak with power, with the power of the voice of the Son of God. Cause the dead to rise, the deaf to hear, and bring the children of promise home. Amen.